We ended last session with a very sad situation, a grieving situation. It happened on the eighth day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, the day in which God's glory appeared over the tabernacle, in the tabernacle, and fire came out of his presence to burn up the dedicatory sacrifices offered by Aaron and his two sons. And up to that point, everything was marvelous. But then, Leviticus chapter 10 tells us that Nadab and Abihu, the two adult sons of Aaron, on their own decided to enter in to the tabernacle building and offer strange fire, unauthorized incense to God, things that God had not included on the agenda for the day. And God's glory flared out on them, and they died a fiery death. And Moses immediately was contacted by God and told to remind Aaron that everybody has to approach God in a very holy fashion. And also that Aaron and his two remaining sons cannot participate in the funeral for the two dead sons whose bodies have been taken outside the boundaries of the tabernacle, because they are still in the process of dedicating the tabernacle. And it is inappropriate for them to leave their responsibility for the people to go and participate in that funeral. And they certainly cannot tear their clothing, because their clothing is the holy uniform. And they cannot take off their hats, because even their hats describe their relationship of representing God's holiness to the people. So they've just got to move forward. But in verse number 8, this is where I closed last session, I think it gives the reason why these two men got in trouble. I think they got drunk. I think they decided to party a little bit on this particular day. And so verse number 8 says, he who is spoke to Aaron. And this is like hot on the heels of the death and removal of the bodies. He who has spoke to Aaron, saying, drink no wine or strong drink, you and your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common. In some versions, it will have something about the sacred and the profane. The devoted and the ordinary. Between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that he who is has spoken to them by Moses. And so this was a permanent requirement for all priests on duty. You don't drink when you're on duty. You abstain from it while you're on duty. Now, we know historically when they were not on duty that they did, in moderation, at least when they were behaving themselves, partake in such things. But these priests were never again to be allowed into the presence of God in a drunken fashion. And unfortunately, it will happen again. And we'll read about those events later in Scripture as the Lord provides. What's the practical thing here? Well, I think it should be obvious, and that is preachers should not be getting drunk when they're doing the work of the Lord. So be thoughtful about how you need to represent God to the people and the people to God. Verse number 12. Moses spoke to Aaron and Eleazar, his surviving sons, "Take the grain offering that is left of he who is his food offerings, and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due from he who is his food offerings, for so I am commanded." Now you remember, we went over in another session the five different types of offerings that are mentioned detailed in Leviticus 1 through 7. And we know that the grain offering, some of it was to be eaten up by the priests there in the tabernacle setting. And so they've offered those sacrifices this day, and so now doesn't matter that they're his son and their brothers were executed by God, they are still expected to finish the ceremony. And that includes eating the offering portion. He's not done. Moses has got more information from God. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offering and the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before he is, and it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as he who is has commanded. And so that was also one of the other sacrifices made of meat. This was the peace offering. The chest portion of the animal and the right hip area was to be cooked up and eaten by the priests as their part of the sacrificial meal. Now, verse 16 says that Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering. And he's wondering where it's at. Behold, it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before he who is? Behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary." So something happened that disrupted some of the processes here, and that was the death of the two sons. And Aaron and his surviving sons didn't do things right, and they didn't eat things properly. Aaron said in response to Moses, getting after him about just burning up certain things without doing it quite according to the procedure, Aaron said to Moses, "Behold, today they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before he who is, and yet such things as these have happened to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would he who is have approved?" And what seems to be coming out here in Aaron's words is, wouldn't my bad attitude have come before the Lord if I had eaten of any of that meat, any of that grain, when my two boys had died at the Lord's hands today because of their sin? Yes, but they still died. I can't cry over them. I can't take my hat off over them. I can't rip my clothes. I can't go to the funeral, but I could fast. That's effectively what Aaron is saying. So he and his two remaining boys fast rather than eat the food that was their right to eat on this day. And that seems to be satisfactory. Verse 20 says, when Moses heard that, he approved. Meaning, he probably checked in with God and God said, yes, that is acceptable. He may grieve in his heart and refuse to eat the food that is his by right of ceremony. And so that is how day number 8 ended. We still have 9, 10, 11, and 12. We have 4 more days where we know from Numbers chapter 7 that gifts have to be offered from each of the remaining tribes. So on day number 9, this is Numbers chapter 7, verse 60, it was the tribe of Benjamin's turn. Then on day 10, verse 66, it was the tribe of Dan's turn. Verse 72, on the 11th day, it was the people of Asher's turn. Their leader brought the exact same gift offerings that had been given on the other days. And then on the final day, the 12th day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, the tribe of Naphtali, the leader of that tribe, brings their final gift offering, dishes and bowls to be used in the Lord's service, and food sacrifice and incense offerings and animals that are going to be sacrificed for the Lord's service. Then, let's see, verse number 89. This is what happened on day number 12 at the climax. When Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with He Who Is, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubim, and it spoke to him. So you remember that Moses, since the beginning of this Exodus, has been going to his office outside of the encampment of Israel, to the tent of meeting, as that tent was called. And the glory of God came down on that original smaller tent. God talked with Moses face to face, as it were. And then the presence of God would lift up enough that people could come and meet with Moses each day and get information. So that's what's been going on for the better part of a year. But now, Moses is going to shift his meeting place with God to the tabernacle itself. And I remember when I was a younger student of the Bible, somehow I didn't get this understanding of Moses. I did not have it taught to me, and I did not picture it. But effectively, from here on out, Moses will go first thing in the morning, apparently, into the actual holy place, the place where the priests do their work each day, and he will meet with God. And then he will apparently go out to the gate of the tabernacle and meet with people. And this is how he's going to do his job of mediating between God and the people and people with people. And so just the reminder here that God's presence is initiated, The cloud of his presence is initiated right there above the mercy seat between the two cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant, right at the height of where a person's mouth would be if they were seated on that throne, because the Ark of the Covenant is God's earthly throne. And so God speaks to him regularly in that fashion. And in future texts, it will talk about the God of glory who is enthroned between the cherubim. And that's what this reference will be to at that point. Okay, so that takes us then. The 12th day finishes up on the 30th of April of 1455 BC. And then it's only a couple of days until it's time for the first Passover. And so for that, we go to Numbers chapter 9. And when I say first Passover, I mean the first anniversary of the initial Passover. So Numbers chapter 9 now. Let me get my computer Bible working here. Be patient. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. He who is spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. So this will be the first anniversary of their departure from Egypt. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, or between the evenings, here at the beginning of Israeli history, that seems to mean at some point in the afternoon leading up to the 15th, starting at sunset. So on the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time according to all its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it. And so Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that he who is had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel did. And so you understand what that means is, there in the afternoon hours of the 14th, they butcher the lambs they've kept since the 10th. They start roasting them, so that they will be ready to eat when the sun goes down. And when the sun goes down, that starts the 15th day of their month, and that starts the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which means that from here on out, there will not be any leaven for a week. And they are to eat this Passover lamb in a hurried fashion, meaning they're not going to just take their time. They were not going to break any of the bones as if they're lingering longer over the meal and sucking the marrow out of the bones. The unleavened bread is to be eaten up as well, and they are to burn any leftovers once the meal is completed, because that's part of the rules. But there's a problem that is brought to Moses. It says, verse number 6, there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. So the 14th rolls around, and some people have had a funeral that day, which means that they've had to take their dead loved one's body and wash it and wrap it up and carry it out and place it in a grave. That renders them technically unclean. And the rule is you cannot be unclean and eat the Passover meal. But the rule is also, everybody has to eat the Passover meal. And so these guys are in a quandary. And so they're like, what are we supposed to do, Moses? It's a catch-22 situation. We're unclean because of the funeral, so we can't eat the Passover meal. But if we don't eat the Passover meal, we're going to be in trouble with God. And, you know, if you're only a few days past seeing your two priests die because of not doing things God's way, you're probably going to want to get things cleared up as to how to get on the right path with God's instructions. So these men said, we're unclean through touching a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing he who is his offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel? So, yes, we're unclean, but shouldn't we still be doing the Passover? And Moses said to them, wait, that I may hear what he who is will command concerning you. So Moses apparently runs into the tabernacle building and has a chat with God. Verse 9, he who is spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel saying, if any one of you or of your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall still keep the Passover to he who is. So God gives another possibility. Maybe you're unclean from a funeral on the 14th day of the first month, or maybe you're traveling outside of Israel. Well, in the second month on the 14th day at twilight, they shall keep it. So this is what's referred to as the alternate Passover. So if you're unclean on the first Passover of the year, then you just use the second Passover date. 14th day, second month. If you're out of town or out of the country, you do it on the 14th day of the second month. But you still follow all the same orders. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. According to all the statute for the Passover, they shall keep it. And we have at least one, I think maybe two examples later of people having to do this. However, verse 13 gives a little warning here. If anyone who is clean and is not on a journey fails to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring he who is his offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. So if you're just skipping out because you don't want to participate, then you're out of the nation. You're going to be pretty much kicked out of the camp. If you try to stick around, you'll be executed because you're not doing things according to what the king says. And it'll be your own fault. That's effectively what it says here. It says that man shall bear his own sin. If you don't do things according to God's way, that's on you, the penalty that comes upon you. Now, if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover to he who is, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule, so shall he do. You shall have one statute both for the sojourner and for the native. So we actually saw this with the Passover rules earlier. If you've got a non-Israeli living in the country, and more than likely it's because they want to get to know God better, and they want to participate in the Passover, well, they can if they're circumcised and they follow the rules. Otherwise, they need to abstain from it because they're not really part of the family because they're not following the rules. And so basically, we have here the reminder that anybody living in the community of Israel needs to follow the rules of God. That's just the way it works. Now, before we run out of time today, because we've got about 2 minutes left, we're going to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 1. Chapter number 1. And we're going to start seeing the reason why this book gets its name. Numbers chapter 1 says this: He who is spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month in the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. So now we know this is just a few days after Passover finished up, unleavened bread finished up. The date, just for the fun of it, is, 19 May 1455 B.C. And God says this: take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names, each male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward. All in Israel who are able to go to war, you and Aaron shall list them company by company. So this is going to be a census of every adult male from their 20th birthday forward, because majority age for these guys is 20th birthday above. And these will be the men who will be given a piece of property in the promised land. And so there has to be a list, an official list. And so that's why we have a book of numbers, because it starts with the numbering of the people of Israel in the second year of the Exodus. And then there will be a second numbering at the end of the Exodus because of the 40-year time between.